Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here on time. Father, we just thank you that we can gather in the name of Jesus, and thank you for the power of prayer, and thank you for brothers and sisters who are committed to just get up and be here, Lord. And we're weak in faith, but we are to pray. We're to watch and pray. So help us this morning, Lord, to pray with spiritual watchfulness, Lord, and just responding to your spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing a stanza of Trust and Obey, because we're going to be looking at that again today a little bit, as we always do. And that is in 82. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's go to verse 5. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So turn in your Bibles today to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We're once again in the prayer in the garden. We had this in Matthew. We have it in Luke. And actually, we have it in John as well, in terms of John 17. But today, we're going to look at the Mark account in chapter 14. And I want to begin with verse 27, with Peter's denial. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." First point I want to make today is, are you listening when the Lord speaks to you? You know, we have a lot of sermons and all about Peter was following at a distance and so forth in here. If he had been listening, he wouldn't have been following at all. Jesus is not calling the disciples to follow him to the cross. He's calling them to tell them he's going to go to the cross alone and he'll join them in Galilee. But did any of them understand that? Apparently not. And Peter, right after he tells them that I will strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered, all of you will be made to stumble, but after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. None of them were listening to that. And then Peter goes into this great vehement statement that he will die with the Lord. He will die with the Lord. They may fail you, but I will never fail you. But Jesus says, yes, Peter, you will fail. You will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Then in verse 32, they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, the olive press. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. I think this is where the great high priestly prayer, John 17, was prayed with the disciples, praying first for himself, then for the disciples, then for us, the future believers. Then in verse 33, he takes Peter. And in the Mark account, he specifically mentions James and John. In the Matthew account, he says the sons of Zebedee. Here he says James and John. And notice those were the three that he took with them to the Mount of Transfiguration. Those were the three he took with them to the healing of Jairus' daughter, raising her from the dead. And the three now that he takes off by himself to pray. And he began to be deeply distressed. He began to be troubled. This word trouble is a very interesting word. It's not in the Matthew account. It's a word that means utterly astonished, greatly distressed. It really means that it's a greater distress and troubling than he's ever had in his life. And he's ever had, period, since the foundation of the world, because he's never been rejected by the Father before, never been separated from the Father before. But he's looking ahead to the cross, and he's going to call it the cup. But the cup, I think, is the being forsaken by the Father. And so he says here, he began to be greatly astonished, utterly astonished, greatly distressed. And then they add for emphasis, deeply distressed, meaning the same thing. And he says to Peter, James, and John, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." We talked about trusting and obeying. Here is the statement to obey. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground. Fell on the ground is unique in the Mark account. In the Matthew account, it fell on his face. In the Luke account, it's he knelt down. But here he says he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup." And in John 18:11, when he told Peter, "Put away the sword. Is it not right for me to drink the cup of my Father?" And so here's the cup. I think that cup is the cross, of course. It's the being forsaken by the Father. "Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will." So if there's any other way, Lord, May the plan of salvation be in effect, but there was no other way. Then another thing that's kind of interesting, in Hebrews 5:7, it said, "With vehement tears and cries, he prayed that he be taken from death," is the way most translations have that. It's ek, actually. And normally ek is translated out of, so I think maybe it's okay to say ek can be from. He's actually praying, "Take me from death." He's praying, "Take me out of death." In other words, he's looking at the being raised from the dead there when he's praying in Hebrews 5:7. But he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that it were possible that the hour might pass from him. "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to whom? Peter, right? Notice he specifically mentions to Peter. Why did he just say to Peter? Because James and John were sleeping as well. I think he is actually calling a little bit of attention to Peter because Peter had made this great statement, "I will die for you. I will never deny you. You can count on me." And here it's we want to be careful and not make these rash promises to the Lord, because Peter says he'll die for him, and here he couldn't even stay awake to pray for him 1 hour. And so, number one here, are we listening? Number two, are we obeying? Are we praying? Are we watching and praying? Because he's told us to watch and pray too. He says men always ought to pray in speaking about his second coming. And now he's going to say specifically, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour?" 1 hour. How many times do we fall asleep? How many times do we watch for an hour and pray? But now in verse 38, this is said in all three accounts. This statement is made in, this exact statement is made in Matthew. "Watch and pray lest you enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." But in the Luke account, "the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak" is not mentioned. But in all three accounts, "watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." So if there's anything you get out of this message this morning, that is the message. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. All of God's sons were tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted. Not all of God's sons yielded to temptation. Jesus never yielded. But we're all subject to temptation. And so what the statement here is, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So the next time you have the thought of entering into temptation, what are you going to do? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's what the scripture tells us here. And then he goes on to say, the spirit indeed is weak. I'm sorry, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to get out of this because of the weakness of our flesh. We need to watch and pray. We are too weak to not yield to temptation without watching and praying is the inference here. Certainly when we get into a big temptation, this is going to be a great temptation for the disciples, I think, and it's fear. They're going to be fearful, right? Their master, their leader is going to be arrested. And he is saying, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Peter, your spirit was willing. You were going to die for me. But look at the weakness of your flesh. You can't even stay awake 1 hour. And is that not the same with us? So recognizing the weakness of our flesh, we need to commit ourselves to watch and pray. We need to commit ourselves now. We need to commit ourselves before the temptation. Because when the temptation comes, if you haven't already committed to what you're going to do, you're not going to have an opportunity at that point to really have victory. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to answer him. So they fail again, in a sense. He came the third time. Are you still sleeping and resting? So the third time as well. And he says, it is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So we could look at an awful lot of other things in this prayer, but basically just wanted to make really three things this morning. Are you listening when Jesus is speaking? If they had been listening, they would not have, well, Peter would not have tried to follow him even, because Jesus tells him, you'll be scattered, but I'll meet you in Galilee after I've been raised from the dead. And secondly, then are you obeying in terms of praying and watching? And are you aware of the weakness of your flesh with regard to yielding to temptation, that you do watch and pray as he is indicating to the disciples here? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. We know 2 Corinthians 3:10 says what? No temptation has overtaken you, what such as is common. So all your temptations, all of our temptations are common. All people have them. It's not just that we're singled out and we had more temptation than anybody else. But what? God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So you when you sin in temptation by yielding to it, an excuse that I had no choice is not an acceptable excuse, because he will not give you temptation beyond what you're able, right? And with the temptation, we'll provide the way of escape. You'll always be given the way of escape. The problem with the weakness of a flesh is that we don't want to take that way of escape. We decide we're going to go ahead and sin anyway, right? And that's where the sin comes, right? But if we watch and pray, that's our best antidote against yielding to temptation. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clear teaching of your word. And Lord, we come this morning mindful of the weakness of our flesh, but I thank you that we're here, and here we are, Lord, wanting to come in and through the power of your spirit, in and through your faithfulness. So unite us now in a one accord as we pray, as you prompt us to pray, for the church, for Calvary Costa Mesa, for the lost, for the various things coming up, the seasons and so forth, and just whatever you put on our hearts to pray for one by one, Lord. So we give this time to you, and may it be a sweet fellowship of watching and praying, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.